keeping in mind the severity of the offence with respect to which the accused is sought to be prosecuted by a magistrate, the court has categorized the trial into three categories, namely trial of warrant cases, trial of summons cases, and summary trial. It will be noted here that the scheme of trial of cases by Sessions Court has not been shown in any of the three headings as above noted, and thus the elaborate procedure for trial of cases by Sessions Court has been kept in the code under a separate chapter, which is chapter 18 of the code. Now, before I take up three categories of trial of offences, I would like to draw your attention to section 190 of the code, which provides for taking of cognizance of the offence by a magistrate. Magistrate takes cognizance either on a police report or on a complaint. Then there is a third category as well, but for the topic under consideration, it is not necessary to deal with it. Now, starting with the trial of warrant cases. For the serious offences, an elaborate procedure of trial has been prescribed in the code and is known as trial of warrant cases under chapter 19 of the code. It provides for a different set of procedure depending upon whether the offence for which the accused is to be tried is emanating out of police report or charge sheet, as is commonly known, or out of a criminal complaint lodged by a private person. Under the first category, that is, of offences pertaining to police report or charge sheet, the code, in acknowledgement of the settled principles of natural justice, of giving an effective opportunity to the accused of being heard, mandates under section 238 of supplying of copy of charge sheet with all the accompanying documents, including the statement of witnesses recorded during investigation. It is an opportunity given to the accused to know on what basis he sought to be tried by the prosecution, and it is at this stage that the code acknowledges the possibility of discharge of accused under section 239 of the code without putting him to rigmaroles of the trial. For an accused to be discharged under section 239, it is sufficiency and deficiency of the charge sheet itself which becomes the determining factor. At this stage, accused is not entitled to bring to the notice of the magistrate any document which is not a part of the charge sheet and which is more of the nature of his defence. The benchmark for discharge of accused is of the magistrate forming an opinion that on the basis of the material available on record, the charge against the accused appears to be groundless. To explain this, I am giving you a simple example of theft. The charge sheet file is on the allegations that accused has committed the theft of a mobile phone of the victim or of the complainant. If the victim has not seen the accused at the time when the theft was committed, it may be a ground in the absence of any other evidence to presume that the charge of theft brought under the charge sheet is baseless or groundless. Now, if in the given case I add a fact that the accused who was not seen by the victim at the time of committing theft was apprehended immediately by a passerby and that the mobile phone was recovered from the possession of the accused. Now, in this fact situation, the contours of the case changes in as much as we have a witness, that is, a passerby who has apprehended the accused and has seen him and of the immediate recovery of the phone from the pocket of the accused. Here, there would be sufficient grounds for the magistrate to presume that the accused has committed offence. Keeping in view the above example, if the charge appears to be groundless, the magistrate would discharge the accused under section 239, and if the material is such that the accused appears to have committed the offence, magistrate will frame the charges under section 240 of the code. When the charges are framed under section 240, the provision provides that the charge has to be read and explained to the accused, and he is to be asked whether he pleads guilty of the offence or claims trial. The code envisages a fact situation where the accused pleads guilty of the offence for which he has been charged, and this relevant provision is section 241 of the code. However, under section 241, magistrate is not bound to convict the accused on his plea of guilt and instead put him on trial. After framing of charges, the next stage is of recording of evidence, firstly by prosecution under section 242 and then by the accused under section 243. The procedure differs slightly when the trial of offence is on a criminal complaint, which is referred in the code as a case instituted otherwise than on a police report. Here, before the accused is discharged under section 245, the code mandates the examination of prosecution or complainant witnesses in the presence of the accused so as to give him the fullest opportunity to know that the complainant or prosecution proposes his trial on the basis of evidence as brought in his presence. If the accused is not discharged, the procedure is akin to the one I just told with respect to the recording of evidences by the party. Now, this completes trial of warrant cases instituted on a police report or instituted otherwise. Now, starting with trial of summons cases. The other category of trial is trial of summons cases by magistrate dealt under Chapter 20 of the Code. Unlike the option of discharge in warrant cases, there is no such provision in the trial of summons cases, and the chapter begins with the giving of notice of accusations to the accused under Section 251 of the Code instead of framing of formal charges. Another distinction is of the conviction of the accused on his plea of guilt. Accused can be convicted even in his absence in respect of offences as detailed in Section 206 of the Code, which are primarily the offences punishable with fine. If the accused is not convicted on plea of guilt, the Code provides for the recording of evidence under Section 254. So the difference between warrant cases and summons cases is the framing or non-framing of charges. Now, starting with summary trial. The last of three categories is of the summary trial contained in Chapter 21. As per Section 260 of the Code, trial in a summary way can be conducted by a magistrate only in respect of the following category of offences as are detailed therein. The procedure to be followed in a summary trial is akin to the one in summons cases as is provided under Section 262 of the Code. The primary difference between summary trial and trials of summons case is of the conviction of the accused on his plea of guilt. If, on being explained the accusations, accused pleads guilty, magistrate invariably convicts him with fine and in the manner as provided under Section 263 of the Code. Whereas, in a summons case, generally, the magistrate proceeds with the trial even if accused pleads guilty to the offence, as the conviction may result in imprisonment for which it would be in the interest of justice that conviction is sustainable on the basis of evidence recorded before the magistrate rather than it be premised only on the plea of guilt of accused, which may in a given case be due to extraneous considerations. I may also tell you here that a summary trial register, which is famously called STR, is maintained in the magisterial courts and the format thereof is as per Section 263 of the Code. However, it be noted that when the magistrate feels that evidence is to be taken, then the distinction between summary trial and trial of summons cases becomes blurred and it takes the shape of trial of summons cases. Thus, the prime distinction between a summary trial and a trial of summons cases is of summary or speedy conviction of the accused on his plea of guilt in terms of Section 263 of the Code. If the route of Section 263 is not taken, then there is no distinction and thus the summary trial then is in the manner as provided for trials of summons cases. So with this, I complete the kinds of trials covered by Topic 6. The only subtopic left in Topic 6 is withdrawal of prosecution under section 321, which is contained in the following audio.